Today, we're going to continue our series, All-Stars, Heroes of the Old Testament, by looking at the life of a man who felt completely unprepared and ill-equipped for the job that God had given him. His name is Gideon. I love this guy in the Old Testament. His story's found starting in Judges chapter 6. If you want to follow along with me, you turn there. We're going to fly through this. This is a long two-chapter story. Here's what we're going to do. I've consolidated it down. There's a lot of scripture, unapologetic about that. But we're going to check him out as quickly as we can. All right? Judges chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Try to hang on, okay? The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, Judges says, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land. They ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Now, that's a pivot. Things had gotten so bad that Israel actually called out to the Lord. This is a major shift because they hadn't been worshiping God. They'd been worshiping pagan idols. The text said they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Their sin had finally caught up with them. So God gave them over to their enemies, and they lived in that for 7 years. Israel was deep in trouble. So as a last resort, they pivoted back to what they'd historically done. They called out to God. After 7 years of oppression, they'd had enough. They'd been living apart from God, doing evil in his eyes, but now they were desperate, so they called on him. Does this sound familiar? We also may make mistakes through life. Some of us are thinking back to a mistake we made. We leave from following after the Lord. We know better, but we were enticed or we were tempted, and so we went off the path that God had called us to, and we end up paying a price. But as you'll see through this story, the life of Gideon, the people of Israel, we too can call on the Lord. God's not given up on his people here, and he hasn't given up on you. He can redeem our situation as he did Israel. So keep in mind, God wants to continue to transform our lives. No matter how close you may be to him, his hope is that you'll be closer to him after today and after tomorrow, because he has a much better life for us than the one that we may be tracking right now. What you're going to see in this series, in this sermon, are a series of takeaways that I think will be beneficial to every follower of Jesus. But I think they'll be especially helpful to the dad who just might feel like he's not hitting the mark. Maybe he's not up to the task. I want you to know God has a purpose for your life as it involves your kids. And he will make sure that you can fulfill that purpose. Well, his story continues in verses 7 and following. It says, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. The first takeaway we see is that God responds. When we call, God will answer. He sent a prophet with a message to remind Israel what he had done in the past. Remember me, is what he was saying. Remember what I've done. This is an important reminder for us too, to always remember God's faithfulness. That's the second takeaway. Always remember God's faithfulness. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Never forget what God has done in your life. Never forget what he's done in the past, even prior to your existence. Remember what God has done because it reminds us that he is with us and he is for us and he can handle anything and he's always in control. Judges 6, verse 10 says this, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But listen to this, but you have not listened to me. Sometimes our kids don't pay any attention to us and they end up paying a price, don't they? We were sharing our wisdom and they were on their own trajectory and they come back later with a dent in the car or a police officer by their side or maybe something far worse. Israel, the third takeaway here, is that Israel was unfaithful. Unfaithfulness was the cause of all of their trouble. You see, they had ignored God and they began worshiping pagan gods, and they've been doing that for a number of years. And like the people of Israel, some of us will stray from following the Lord. And without a course correction, we too will find ourselves in need of great help, help that only God can give. Verse 11 and following. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Bezerite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," which will be a funnier line later as we get to know Gideon, because he's anything but a mighty warrior. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon said, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" The angel was telling Gideon, God is with you, and you are the solution to the problem that Israel faces. You know, so often it's easy to diagnose the problem, isn't it? And yet, oftentimes we don't have any solutions on how to solve it. Gideon knew what the problem was. He just didn't know how to fix it. The world is filled with armchair quarterbacks who routinely point out what is obvious to everyone, but they rarely are willing to step up and solve the difficulty. Verse 15, we kind of see Gideon doing that. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel?" I mean, let's be real, right? "My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." He's saying, you picked the wrong guy. I just don't have the skill set. I don't have the pedigree. I'm the wrong horse to run in this race. And the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon knew what the problem was, but he had no confidence that he was the one who could fix it. In fact, he makes the case that he's the least qualified. But God's confident, and he promises to be with Gideon. And God's promise, "I will be with you," changes everything. Israel had worshiped pagan gods, so God gave them over to their enemies. But when they cried out to him, he responded, and he will give them an incredible display of his mighty power to save them. And God's plan all starts by calling Gideon, who was the most unlikely of heroes, to lead the Israelite army to victory over the Midianites. But before he jumps into battle with the Midianites, God has another mission for him, a smaller mission. Maybe we would even say a secret mission. It's found in verse 25 and 26. This is what we read. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down offer the second bull as a burnt offering." Before Gideon could take on the Midianites, he had to cut off Israel's dependence of worshiping idols. So he started at home. You see, this was the source of the problem that Israel had, the reason why the Midianites were oppressing them. They had rejected God when they started worshiping the gods of Baal and Asherah. Now, it's worth noting that true believers can't build an altar to the Lord unless they first tear down the altars they've built to the false gods that they're worshiping in their lives right now. God will not share his glory, nor will he share his love that he receives from us with any other entity. Gideon would have to tear down the pagan idols and then privately build his own idol. His own altar to the Lord. Because before he could declare war on Midian, he had to declare war on Baal. This would be difficult for Gideon because he belonged to a family that was worshiping Baal. In fact, they had their own idols. If he challenged the Midianites in the future in the name of the Lord, it meant defying his father, his family, his neighbors. It meant defying most of the people in the nation of Israel who, like the Midianites, they were all worshiping Baal. Verse 27 says, "So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him, but because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the daytime." Gideon was a secret agent now. He was afraid. He was afraid of how everyone in his life might react to him destroying the family idol, so he goes during the night. Warren Wiersbe, who's a great source for this message, he says this in his commentary: "Before God gives his servants great victories in public, he sometimes prepares them by giving them smaller victories at home." That certainly was the case here. The next morning, the people saw that the idols had been destroyed, and they wanted to know who was responsible. So after investigating, they found out that it was Gideon. They demanded Gideon die for his actions. And then something, maybe it's not so unlikely, but it is a little bit of a strange twist. We read in verse 31, it says, "But Joash," remember that's Gideon's Baal-worshipping father, "Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, 'Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning.' If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." Clearly, Joash cared about his son. And it's true that these were his idols. Yet, he defends Gideon, and he even questions whether Baal is really a god. I wonder if he'd have been having that thought for some time. And now, because of the circumstances, he comes to this point where he realizes, maybe my son's on to something. It brings us to the fourth takeaway in this talk, and that is God can use anything to accomplish his purpose. God used Joash, who was a worshiper of Baal, to protect and defend Gideon. Never underestimate God's ability to assist you to accomplish his purpose, even during the worst of circumstances. Remember, God is with you, and he is in control. We go now to the next, really, the main mission. It's in verses 33 and following, it says, "Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. The Midianites and their allies made their annual invasion into Israel. More than 135,000 enemy soldiers, it's estimated, moved into the valley of Jezreel. It was time for Gideon to act, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him, giving him wisdom and power." We see it immediately. You see, as we seek to do God's will, his word for us is the same as it was for Gideon. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Not by might or by power, but by the Spirit of God. Gideon put a call out to rally the soldiers to fight against the Midianites. And you know, 32,000 men showed up. The question then is, what chance do 32,000 have against 135,000? The Jews were outnumbered and would certainly be outmaneuvered by this massive force they were going up against. Except for one thing, God was on their side, and he had promised them victory. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, we read this. It says, "Because everyone who has been born from God has won the victory over the world. Our faith is what wins the victory over the world." We can still have victory over the forces of darkness that we face against. Faith is the key. Our confidence is in the Lord, and that is vital. You Christians are either overcome because of their unbelief, or they are overcomers because of their faith. Faith is pivotal. Faith doesn't depend on how we feel or what we see or what may happen. Faith is being confident in the Lord and him alone. What we see in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 7, the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men." What? "You have too many men. I can't deliver Midian into your hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained. That brings us to the fifth takeaway. Always do it God's way, even when it doesn't always make sense to us. And this certainly was the case. Israel was outnumbered, so logically, this doesn't make sense, but Gideon is trusting in the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord had come on him. He is trusting in God. Verses 4 through 6. "But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men." Seriously? "Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. If I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink." So it was those who would scoop up water and drink it this way, as opposed to those who would get down on their hands and knees and drink from the water directly. 300 of them, cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. Now, this was not a test for Gideon's army. This was a test for Gideon and his faith. God said he would be with him and promise victory, and then he started reducing his already very small army. Wiersbe says this about our faith. He said, "God tests our faith for at least two reasons. One, to show whether our faith is real or counterfeit. And then secondly, to strengthen our faith for the purpose God has for us." God often puts us through the valley of testing before allowing us to reach the mountaintop of victory. When we see that God is faithful through testing, then we will have faith for the mission that he's called us to. Verses 7 and 8, the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. People who live by faith know their own weaknesses. And as a result, more and more, those who walk by faith will depend on God's strength. You see, he fills in where they're lacking. That's why Paul could say, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. Because when he was weak, he knew that God's provision would be available to him. John Wesley must have thought about Gideon when he said famously, give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and love nothing but God, and I will shake the gates of hell. It's not about the size of the army. It's not even about the fight in the soldiers. It's about the God who is with them. Although the battle still had to be fought, Israel had already won. The 300 could attack the enemy confident that Israel would be victorious. And then we read this in the last part of verse 8 and following. It says, now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid, okay, to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they're saying. Afterward, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. Which brings us to the sixth takeaway, and that is Gideon was still afraid. He has seen God, he has heard God, he's conversed with God, he's actually seen God show up, he's had the Spirit of God come on him, and yet he's still afraid. Now we know this because God said, if you're afraid, go down to the Midianite camp with your servant, and that's exactly what he did. Just needed a little bit more. And I think God knew that. That's why he made all of this possible. We all know fear is difficult to deal with at times. It overwhelms us. It paralyzes us, which was the case for Gideon in much of his life. But God will show him through this next moment that I've got this. Trust me. So Gideon arrives at the edge of the enemy camp just in time to hear a man sharing a dream that he'd had about how this battle was going to go. And then another man steps in and immediately interprets the dream, explaining that God was going to give this upcoming battle into the hands of Gideon. And this was a game changer for this new general. Verse 15 says, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped. You can only imagine in that moment, on the edge of the Midianite camp, he just bows his head and says, God, I get it now. Thank you. It says, he returned to the camp of Israel and he called out, get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Which gives us the final takeaway of this story, and that is that God had inspired Gideon. Gideon was a new man when he and his servant returned to the Israelite camp. Their fears and doubts were gone. He mobilized his small army and he infused courage into their hearts by what he would say to them and what he did. Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Gideon had this new perspective. As Vance Havner, the great author, once wrote, faith sees the invisible and does the impossible. Faith sees the invisible, at least for Gideon. He saw the victory for this battle that they hadn't even yet fought yet. But he knew they would be victorious. And it does the impossible. It wins a battle that few men up against a massive force, few men armed with torches and trumpets. Not exactly artillery and automatic weapon fire. God will give us inspiration to accomplish the purposes that he calls us to as well. Verses 16 and 17 and 18, dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon had come a long way, hasn't he, since the first time we meet him in the early part of chapter 6, where God found him hiding in his wine press, threshing wheat so the Midianites wouldn't find him. We no longer see him reacting to fear, but instead, he's confidently giving orders to his men, knowing that the Lord would give them the victory. If God can take a doubter, a guy who was a scaredy cat like Gideon, and make him into a victorious general, then he can change anyone. Now, you may not be a father, you might be a single person, you might be a senior, you might be a person who is here just checking this whole God thing out. But I want you to hear specifically this one statement. You may think that God can't change you, but don't waste one more minute thinking that, because God is in the transformation business, and he can change anybody, even you. Gideon and his men took their places around the enemy camp. And when Gideon signaled, they all blew their trumpets and they broke their jars and they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And finding themselves surrounded by all of this light and all of this noise, the Midianites must have thought that they were being attacked by an enemy force much larger than theirs. And so they panicked. They started to try to mobilize, but they couldn't. God intervened, and he put a spirit of confusion in the camp, and the Midianites actually started to do battle against one another, killing each other in the process. Eventually, they realized that their only play was to flee, and that's what they did, with the Israelite army in hot pursuit after them. 300 took down 135,000 that day. This is an amazing story. And for people of faith, it gives us tremendous insight into how God can work in our lives. But you don't have to know anything about God to know that this story shows you he can work in your life. We can learn a lot from this unlikely hero. And we can be encouraged by his life and the decisions that he made to follow the Lord, to trust him. You see, God doesn't need large numbers to accomplish his purposes, nor does he need extremely gifted leaders. Just so you know, I never had to repeat a grade, okay? Just so you know. Gideon and his 300 were available to God to use, and he made it possible for them to conquer an army that no one would have bet on them that day. And as a result, they restored Israel to worshiping the Lord, and they brought peace back to the land. When the church starts to depend on things like large buildings or big crowds or huge budgets, faith can get misplaced. We can never let that happen. God won't give his blessing when our faith is in something other than him. In fact, I think when that happens, God starts to look for a Gideon. And the important thing is for us to be available to him and to trust him. We may not fully understand his plans, but we can fully trust his promises. Remember, it is faith in the Lord that gives the victory. It is faith in God that will see you through whatever your mission is that he's given you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the life of Gideon. I thank you for how you took a guy who was ill-prepared and unequipped to be a general. And then he took a band of 300 by your power and your might and overcame the oppression of the Midianites. Lord, thank you for his life, for his story. Help us to have faith like his. Lord, will you deepen our faith today? Maybe we have felt this call in our lives to serve. Maybe it's to step into the bash. I just want to serve in there, but I'm not sure I can do that. I'm afraid. Lord, I pray that we would look past our fears, trusting you to provide strength to accomplish what you call us to, Lord. Or maybe we're senior, we're kind of separated from our family. They're just away. We just need some friends. We need to connect. Maybe you're feeling a nudge to go out and say, hey, I want to check out this new seniors ministry that's starting up. Just get connected to them. We're afraid. Or maybe we're just feeling like, I don't know. Lord, give us faith to trust you that if you're nudging us to serve or to connect in community or wherever that might be, Lord, that we would take that step. Help us to not just allow fear to keep us from accomplishing what you're calling us to do, Lord, we pray. Asking all of this in your name. Lord, I pray especially for a person who's here today that has never said yes to Jesus. They're just checking you out. I'm so thankful they're here. Lord, help them to see how much you love them and the difference that you can make in their life, just like you did in Gideon's life. God, we ask all this in Jesus' name.